Welcome to The Forum, the program that educates, motivates, and advocates on behalf of our listeners. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare, and it's always a pleasure to have the branch manager for the Lincoln branch of the Peoria Public Library, Cynthia Smith, in our studio. Whenever Cynthia comes, she has all kinds of information, not just about books at Lincoln, but about events coming up because we're into Black History Month. How are you?
I'm good, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Look at you with your little sheets.
I have to have my sheets.
You got 59 things going on. Wow. That's a lot. You got a lot going on.
We do have a lot going on, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
It is. All right. So where do you want to start? You want to start with February 1st? Or let's talk about the library in general.
Okay.
Because the last time I talked to you was some time ago. And we were all coming out from under COVID,
right.
And we were still trying to get our young people to read, and they were impacted by COVID.
Absolutely.
And impacted by these electronics that they have nowadays.
Right.
How's it going? Are young people reading as much as you would like them to?
Well, they can always be improved on that. But I think that seeing the kids come into the library with the programs that we're putting together, it has to do, or let me just say it this way, they have to read in order to be a part of the program. So from what I'm seeing, I would say that it's improving.
Okay. Because I remember there was one summer, and maybe you still do this, where you were giving away bicycles.
Oh, that's a must.
If they read a certain amount. How,
yes.
how did that work?
Well, they have to read for 6 weeks, 20 minutes a day. So if they can do that, their name goes into the drawing for the bike. So in the summertime, those kids are coming in every day. They're making sure that we see them. They're picking up books, magazines, even getting on the computers and downloading ebooks and things like that.
So, do you quiz them afterwards?
Only when they come up to me. Because they want to be heard, they want to be seen, and I feel I want to give them that time frame. But it's an honor system. But we do see them in the building. We see them seated at the table, so they are reading.
And you are an advocate for reading and an advocate for people to be lifelong learners.
Right.
Talk to me about that. Expound on that.
Well, I just think it's... what I see and what I know to be a fact is if you do become a reader, your grades in school will be so much better. And we have parents who come into the library encouraging their kids, hoping that we can help them in some way find an author that something will click with them and they want to read that particular series. We're trying to do whatever we can to help teachers, help parents, and the students themselves. So with that, we do multiple programs.
I remember you telling me one time, and it made me think, it's like, wow, that's true. You have to read, when you're in school, mm-hmm. you have to read all of your other books. You have to read your math book. You
right.
have to read your science book. You have to read your social studies book.
Right.
So reading is...
And the comprehension.
Fundamental.
It is. So you have to have that. So... With that, it will take you really far.
Yeah.
So we try to implement programs like the Project Next Generation program, where it's a STEM program, and it's hands-on. But you do a lot of reading with that. So, for instance, we have we purchase Nintendo. And you say, why would you purchase Nintendo? It's a game. Yeah, but it's a STEM. We relate it to STEM. So the kids are now building cardboard robots that they actually can get into and play the game Nintendo. But they have to read those instructions. They have to follow those instructions. It's not an easy process. Sometimes they get frustrated. We talk them through it. But they're learning, and they're comprehending that. And believe it or not, that is going back into their classroom.
I remember when I was at the Lincoln Branch Library, and one of your staff members was kind of looking over the shoulder of a kid. The kid was reading, and the staff member asked them, what did they just read?
Mm-hmm.
So that gets into reading for comprehension. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of tell when you know a student is just putting the words together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went to the store, and I got myself and then you know, okay, so what did you just do? Well, I went to the store, and I got me, you want them to To understand what they're reading.
Yeah, and that's where we find that's lacking. But the comprehension of what they're reading, you know.
So you're
reading the words.
Yeah, you're just putting words together.
Right, but can you understand exactly what it is that you just read? And how can you break that down? And without making anyone embarrassed about it or anything like that, there's ways that we could, you know, say that and see, okay, maybe this level is too high of a book. Maybe we need to go down to a different level, but not saying that directly, but just walking them over and saying, oh, this might be a good book. Try this one. And we've actually formed a lot of relationships with students in that manner where they feel comfortable now coming to us and says, oh, I have a reading problem. And the fact that they're identifying that they do actually gives me like a lot of incentive and hope that they can get through this and we can help them with that.
I meant to contact you because you were one of the first people I thought about when the Commission on Racial Equity for Peoria City and County came out with their report. What was it, a year and a half ago or a year or so ago? And all of us were kind of sobered by the statistics that came out. Mm-hmm. We were talking about, I want to say, like third grade reading comprehension or something, and it had the demographic breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And for the white students, it was you know, double digits or whatever. And then it was interesting because I think for the Hispanic students, it was like 8%. And then for African American students, it was like 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, wow. And you were one of the first people I was thinking about. It's like, I wonder what Cynthia thinks about that, or I wonder, you know.
It's accurate.
Yeah.
It's accurate. So how can we tune that around? Well, you know, we have to have parents turning it around. We have to have teachers, the students themselves. And I think a lot of times, too, though, if a parent isn't picking up a book and reading it, 9 times out of 10, their kids aren't doing it.
Role model.
Exactly. We have to have those role models to do that. And so we try to encourage. I see more students come into the library than I do adults. And we hope that we can change that and turn that around. There are so many things out there. You know, I know parents have a lot on their plate, and they feel like they don't have time, you know, to break this down a little bit and come into a library and grab a book. But those role models make such a huge difference.
And I heard a mom say she read to her child when she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
When I retired from television, my first after-retirement job was at Lincoln School.
Okay.
And I was just sitting around. It's like, okay, well, maybe I'll sub a little bit. And so I signed up to sub, and I went in and I subbed for a day or two. And it's like, oh, that was pretty cool. And then I looked online, and I saw where they had an opening for, like, that next week in that same fourth grade class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, I'll just do the week then because I already did these 2 days. And so in the middle of the week, the principal came to me and said, hey, Mr. Moore, I just wanted to let you know the fourth grade teacher is out for the rest of the year.
Uh-oh.
And so if you want to be the fourth grade teacher, you can be the fourth grade teacher. And I was like, okay, I think I'll do it.
Okay.
And so there was a young lady, I don't remember her name, but she was the best reader in the whole school district. And she was in my classroom. And she, and so I'm not taking any credit, right? But I did sort of, kind of, right? But this young lady, this little girl, fourth grader, she would get done with her work and she would just grab a book and start reading. And when I met her parents talked about how they read to her. The district honored her at the end of the school year with like a wagon full of her favorite books and, you
That's
know,
awesome.
other kind of stuff. But you mentioned the parents being role models.
They have to be. They have to be. It's just a given. And there's really not a whole lot you can say on that subject. We don't have enough of our adults coming into a public library. You don't have to come into Lincoln Branch. Just go to any library.
But you mentioned earlier Nintendo, and mm-hmm. you mentioned parents being busy. there are so many different things that occupy young people's attention.
Yeah.
And some would argue that they're overstimulated. You know, we're all learning about dopamine, right? That chemical in your brain
sure.
that satisfies stuff. And you have a cell phone. I mean, you have kids that have phones now.
Yeah, you do.
And kids play Fortnite and Grand Theft Auto, and their mind is totally into the electronics. Mm-hmm. So when you introduce reading, do you find that the students are like, oh, this is going to slow me down, or this isn't?
It depends on the activity of the program that we're doing. So, like, for instance, that Nintendo, that is something that they're familiar with, but we try to put a twist on it. So, therefore, they think, they feel like it's exciting because they haven't had that part of the Nintendo activity that's involved with it. So it's sort of like we're not tricking them into reading, but it just gives them that boost because it is something that they're familiar with. Yeah, yes, it is a game. However, they have to do certain things to get to that end of the game. So they like it. It's exciting because we know we can't stay in the same, pick up a book and read. Because we try to do it that way.
It's not keeping up with the times.
Exactly. So although there's authors who are keeping up with the times, the graphic novels are starting to be very popular. So a lot of kids are now starting to get into the graphic novels. But we just have to stay ahead of the game with that. So they can still read, they can still do their games, and we can combine the two.
Well, and you are linking it with something that they're interested in.
Absolutely.
Because you were saying earlier, let's say you have a young person and when they think of reading, they're thinking of picking up an old crusty social studies book or something like that.
Right.
But if they're interested in LeBron James, then you may have a Sports Illustrated magazine there.
Of course we do.
Or, right?
Of course we do. Or, basketball, football right now. And a lot of the young men are interested in that. And they will come and pick up a magazine and or ask, you know, where's the basketball section or the sports section? So we do have that.
And what about the young ladies? What are they interested in?
Well, that's kind of hard. A lot of them are still starting to be in the graphic novels area. And, like, they do, like, the mini-series fiction. So they're more into the fiction aspect of it. And it depends, you know. It's always something with a little drama in it. Like high school drama and things like that.
Mean girls.
That, yeah. So they do. But they're reading, so hey, I'll take it.
Learn how to be a mean girl.
I wouldn't say that, but, you know, it's just things that they're familiar with. They like to read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the children's books, last question before we talk about the events coming up.
Sure.
The children's books have just been off the chain. I mean, when we had our store back in 1995, you know, for those 10 years, 95 to 2006 or whatever, the black children's books were just coming out and being popular.
Mm-hmm.
And like the pop-up books and awesome stuff. Nowadays, it's like wonderful. I mean, it's just wonderful to see shades and colors and hair, books about braids and, you
it's
know,
important
some
for
of
us
everything,
to see that.
Identity-wise.
It's so
and
important.
Self-esteem.
Yes. So those books are displayed at Lincoln Branch. We want to make sure that they see themselves in those books. And that's another way of relating. Because if you don't see yourself, you don't want to pick up that book. So the books that we display for our community is what you can see yourself the reflection of.
And you encourage parents to go out and maybe buy some of those, have those around, sitting
absolutely.
Around the house.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And if you can't afford to buy them, come into the library. You can keep them for 2 weeks.
Yes, that's the reason why you have
and
a
you
library.
Can renew.
You can check them out.
And you can renew them, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. We want to remind our listeners, this is The Forum on WPNV. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare. And we have Cynthia Smith, the branch manager for the Lincoln branch of the Peoria Public Library. And we're here to talk about Black History Month coming up. She's got all kinds of events. Okay, so let's get started. Okay. When's the first event? All right. So when's the first event?
Well, February 8th will be our first event. And actually, it's like a walk-in activity for parents and their young kids if they would like to come in and learn a STEM activity featuring Mae Jemison, where they'll be creating aircrafts. And actually, the aircrafts, they will be able to fly. So.
Mae Jemison, a Black female astronaut.
Absolutely.
And, wow, okay, now she's not going to be here in Peoria.
I wish, no. We're just going to give a little knowledge on her, as well as create an activity. And like I said, this is for a very young kid, so parents would have to be a part of it. Kids from first grade to the third grade.
And this is February 8th.
Yes, February 8th. And then we'll do that again on the 22nd, so it will repeat itself if you missed it the first time.
And this is kind of showcasing STEM and engineering.
Yes.
And maybe you'll have a little person there who might walk away and say, you know, I want to be an astronaut.
Absolutely. And this is not the first time that we've actually done this STEM project, but it's gotten so many rave reviews from parents and the kids coming in. So we're like, well, let's do it again. So let's put it out there again, and hopefully we'll get that same response.
And since this is Black History Month, let me just throw in a little quick Black History nugget related to astronauts. And you may or may not know this, but the first Black astronaut from Bradley University, Robert Lawrence was a student at Bradley University. Dr. Garrett said he was like the most brilliant student he ever had. And he went through a pilot training program, completed all the requirements for NASA.
Nice.
This is in the 1960s. NASA deemed him, you know, astronaut. He was a Black young man. Tragically, killed in a plane crash. He was training a pilot. The pilot was actually flying the plane. He was in the passenger seat, and the plane experienced some difficulty. The pilot ejected out safely. And Robert was killed.
Oh.
And NASA posthumously named him as the first Black astronaut. So, yeah, Robert Lawrence. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So, that's an awesome story to tell.
Yeah, yes. But if young people are, you know, thinking, oh, well, you know, I don't know about this stuff or I can't do it, we have role models right here.
Well, yes, and they need to know that.
All right, so this is February 8th.
That is, yes, February 8th.
And what then, time?
It's actually at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6.
Okay.
So 5 p.m. to 6 p.m.
At the Lincoln Branch.
At the Lincoln Branch. So all these activities that I'm going to speak about is going to be at the Lincoln Branch. So on February 17th, we have Dr. Charles Bell. It's going to be a serious conversation.
Now, he will be here.
Yes, in person at Lincoln Branch. At 1 o'clock is on a Saturday, February 17th.
And Dr. Bell has written books about suspensions and expulsions and stuff, which is, you know, subjects that as parents of school children, we need to lean in on.
Absolutely. And how does that impact the students, the parents, the teachers? So we're hoping that everyone would come out and have this serious conversation and dialogue so we can learn something, how we can prevent it, and if we're in that type of situation, how do we get out of it?
Yeah, and for teachers, you know, that's always the challenge.
Right.
You know, and you have a classroom, maybe you have a couple students who are disruptive. Do you kick them out or do you keep them in, you know, kind of thing?
I don't know. Teachers, I applaud them. I really do. Because it's very hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard to balance that. So hopefully Dr. Charles Bell will give us some insight.
And that's on the 17th.
That is on the 17th.
What time?
At 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock.
Yes.
All right. So the 17th must be
a Saturday.
That's what I thought. Okay.
It is a Saturday.
All right. What's next?
So we have on Friday, February 23rd, we have our After Hours Adult Paint Night. I love saying that because I'm looking at your face, Gary.
Well, I was just curious. After Hours Adult
Paint
Night.
That means that the library is closed.
Okay.
All right. And it's to be a really fun night. We will have an artist from the Pure Guild of Black Artists who will be instructing us on whatever she suggests that we should be painting.
Okay. You've done this before.
I had a waiting list. So there were those who could not get in. So,
wow. So you had to do it again.
Yes, we're doing it again. We hope to have fun with this.
So do people have to bring in it? Do you bring a paintbrush?
We supply everything from the snacks to the sipping.
Oh, so
to the mocktails.
So you have wine.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is no kids allowed.
Exactly. That's come I said adult. Adult paint night. Can I say it like that then?
Okay. All right.
So that should be a fun time. We'll have Dr. DJ Spiller. He will also be spinning music for us. So it's just going to be a fun time.
And what time is that?
That is at 6:30 p.m.
And it goes until
8:30 p.m.
Okay, I was going to say until midnight.
No. But it's a fun time had. So, you know, a lot of girlfriends come. It can be a date night if you like for it to be. But we have a good time. And actually, the library will be open to those who register for this event. So you do have to register.
Okay. And does it cost anything for any of these events?
No, it does not.
No,
everything
I didn't think
is free.
So. Wow. That's wonderful.
Yes. All and right. Okay. So Tuesday, February 27th, we have another author coming, Dr. Tristan Johnson. And she's going to be talking about your name. What does your name mean? Do you know the background? Do you know how you got that name? She has written a book, so we're excited for her to come and give us her knowledge on what is that meaning of your name.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
And then the last thing I think I just want to say is the Read On Book Club. We've been doing it for years now. These ladies have been absolutely wonderful. So we will be reading the book, The Queen of Sugar Hill, a novel about Hattie McDaniel.
Ooh.
So it's an interesting take on it. The author is Rashonda Tate, and it's fiction.
Okay.
But you know they say fiction is truth. At least that's what the authors that I have interviewed tell me all the time.
Wow. Okay, so Hattie McDaniel.
What? Yes.
She is famous for movies like Gone with the Wind.
Yes, she actually won an Oscar, the first black person to win an Oscar.
And this was back in the time when, you know, there was always some discussion or debate as to how blacks were being portrayed back then.
Right.
And I went to the Black Museum in D.C., and they have a little quote from Hattie McDaniel, because they show, Step and Fetch It, and they show the minstrel era, and they show this different stuff. And you see a picture of Hattie McDaniel, mm-hmm. you know, tying Scarlett O'Hara's belt or, you know, corset or something.
Yeah.
And there's a quote from her that says something, and I'm paraphrasing, I might mess this up, but it says something like, I'd rather play a maid for $700 a week than to be one for $7.
Yes. She does that, yes. That is a quote from her.
And it was wow. I mean, you could have an hour-long discussion on that.
Yes, you could. I think it's going to be interesting to get that take on it. So.
All right. And so you have left out one date. And
oh, right. Wait a second.
No, wait. No.
Leave out one date.
Yeah, you did. And we did. No, actually, for our listeners, we did this on purpose. All right. So we could end. We could end on February, is it 13th?
The 13th.
February the 13th at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
You're going to have this guy at the library.
He plays drums.
And he plays drums and does storytelling.
And we're so honored to have him come and be a part of that. The kids are going to love him. Every time I see Gary Moore doing telling. No, your storytelling is absolutely fantastic. So we're excited that you're coming, Gary.
All right. So that'll be on February 13th. So again, there's a lot of stuff going on at the Lincoln Branch Library in the month of February. You're encouraged. These things are free. They're family-oriented, fun, and the library itself is just a wonderful place to hang out. It's a place of learning and community. So, Cynthia, I've been asking you a lot of questions. Anything that you wanted to impart in the little time that we have left that we didn't talk about?
I think we said all we need to say. We just want everyone to come out and embrace February Black History Month.
All right. And read.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Yes, most important.
At least.
And they will when they come in the library. Can't help yourself to pick out a book.
Now, I got to say this because, you know, I wrote a book and I was talking to some people about reading. They're like, no, I haven't got around to it yet. I haven't got around. And then I was thinking, you know, I used to read a book a week. And then life got busy.
Yes.
And you know Steve Winter at the barbershop?
Yes.
So Steve has this joke with me. He says I turned him on to audiobooks.
Okay.
And he was like me. It's like I used to be just an avid reader. And then time got away from me. Mm-hmm. And so now in order for me to read a book, I have to get up really early on Saturday or Sunday morning.
Okay.
I get up like, you know, 5 or 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and then I'll get my hour of reading in.
But you're allowing yourself that time.
But I'm allowing, right. And so you have to really make a deliberate effort to carve out the time to read.
Yeah.
The evening doesn't work for me. I end up falling asleep.
But you know what? If you have find a good author, a good book.
It can keep you up.
It can. Yes, yeah, it does.
Yeah. With a little caffeine.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you come in the library, we can help you find that book.
Or an audio book.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Cynthia Smith, Branch Manager at Lincoln. Thanks for being on the Forum. You've been listening to the Forum on WPNV. The Forum airs at 10 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. Sunday. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare. And we want to leave you with a quote from novelist Alice Walker, who said, "The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." Thanks for listening.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead.